නමෝ තස්ස භගවතෝ අරහතෝ සම්මා සම්බුද්දස්ස නමෝ තස්ස භගවතෝ අරහතෝ සම්මා සම්බුද්දස්ස නමෝ තස්ස භගවතෝ අරහතෝ සම්මා සම්බුද්දස්ස යේසං සම්බෝධි අංගේසු සම්මා චිත්තං සුභාවිතං ආදාන පටිනිස්සග්ගේ අනුපාදාය ඒ රතා කීනාසවා ජුතිමන්තෝ තේ ලෝකේ පරිනිබ්බුතාති. Dear Dhamma friends, as you all know, we have taken Apara Sutta as the topic of this retreat. And Apara Sutta is available in Sanyutta Nikaya, Pujjanga Sanyutta. So in this Sutta, actually Buddha describes some sort of encouragement to practice seven enlightenment factors. So, seven enlightenment factors, namely mindfulness enlightenment factor, investigation enlightenment factor, effort enlightenment factor, and then rapture enlightenment factor, tranquility enlightenment factor, and then concentration enlightenment factor, and equanimity enlightenment factor are those quite counteracting to the five hindrances. You know, the typical nature of the mind is going away with the various sensual desires, ill will, sotta and topa, and some sort of regret, restlessness, and various doubts. So this is the typical nature of our mind. But when one develops these enlightenment factors, they are actually fairly counteracting with the hindrances. And therefore, ultimately, they become dominant in the mind. So that is a fairly positive atmosphere to develop. And that is something that Buddha encouraged us to, as much as possible, develop in our mind. Now, yesterday we discussed how we are to develop, and we recognized two stages of the development. First stage is where one fairly established mindfulness, and once the unwavering mindfulness is established, then the mindfulness awakening factor, enlightenment factor, going to start. So as we are moving forward, then again and again that enlightenment factor being reinforced, strengthened, as a result the mindfulness enlightenment factor going to be developed. So similarly, we are not limiting ourselves to the establishment of the mindfulness, rather we even try to examine, investigate those phenomena that onto which that we have been mindful. So as a result, so when we do this examination, when we do this close investigation, so that leads to the development of the investigation enlightenment factor. And this requires fair amount of effort. That is how the effort awakening factor comes to the picture. And then when the things are in a satisfactory level, so we feel happy, we feel contented, so that is the beginning of the rapture enlightenment factor. And when things are happening smoothly, body also start to support. We are familiarizing with the posture, seasoned with the posture, and the body also feels comfortable. And the mind also feels comfortable, feels contented. And as a result, mind feels calm, body feels calm, mind feels lighter, body also feels lighter. That is the passaddhi, tranquility enlightenment factor, going to be developed. And then when the body and the mind feels comfortable, feeling at ease, so that leads to the development of the concentration, samadhi. And when things are happening like that, everything in a more positive manner, so then we don't have to do any further adjustments. We can simply allow things to happen because the way happening is quite satisfactory. So we can simply take the back seat and allow things to happen. So that is where the equanimity enlightenment factor going to be developed. So assume that when one is developing like this, then we discussed yesterday, so one's mind is evolving and gains some understanding about the nature of various phenomena, various conditioned phenomena being observed, and we are being understanding their transient nature, their inconstant nature, impermanent nature, unsatisfactory nature, and again those are not under our governance, under our control, and there is nothing substantial within them. So likewise, as we are understanding the behavior of various conditioned phenomena, so there's a kind of a disenchantment, detachment happens in the mind. So that leads to some sort of a little bit of lazy, lethargic kind of an attitude in the mind. But Buddha encourages us to be with it, not to get out of the situation or to stop the meditation, rather continue the practice, giving some prominence to this seclusion, giving some prominence to this sort of aloneness. Because mind has nothing to do right now, so everything appears like a flux, everything has almost blurred, and the various phenomena has loosened their distinct characteristics, and things are very much appear like everything in a common situation. Everything appear like a flux. So in this kind of a situation, mind probably can become drowsy, lethargic, lazy, etc. But Buddha encourages us to be in that track rather than changing the track, changing the way. So we got to continue that track, because that continuation is where we are now leading towards the seclusion and less sort of defilements, and again we are get on to some sort of a relaxed environment. So now there is no struggle. Previously it was some sort of a struggle and we have kept the effort in the front, but now effort has calmed down. Things are happening smoothly and the various phenomena have subsided and they have disappeared. Their behavior has almost calmed down. Their behavior has ceased. So as a result, mind has found its own kind of seclusion. And Buddha encourages us to be in that seclusion. Try to have a kind of an inclination towards that seclusion. Again and again, so this seclusion is appreciated. As a result, now the yogi is gaining some skill to be with that seclusion. As a result, assume that he is now capable of being in that unassociated state for 15 minutes. Then he is developing it to 20 minutes. Then he is developing to 30 minutes, 1 hour. So likewise, he is now continuing his practice. And it can even lead to a very good concentration, or rather very good deep concentration. But here, Buddha makes another point, making that you have prepared this sort of an environment not just to enjoy it, rather to recognize various subtle defilements. So that is where Buddha mentioned, tatrabiratin iccheya hitva kame akinchano pariyodapeya attanam citta klesehi pandito. So you got to again and again find delight in this seclusion, but don't just stay there. So once you are well established, use that as a reference to recognize various subtle defilements. Because you know, if the mind is cluttered, then it is difficult to recognize defilements. But right now, mind has a fair amount of clarity. Mind is very peaceful. And any kind of a fluctuation is quite correctly visible, vividly visible. So therefore, this is a very good base to recognize very subtle defilements. So therefore, Buddha encourages us to free our minds from various defilements. It could be lust, it could be anger, it could be delusion, it could be envy, jealousy, whatever it is. So all these defilements have able to trace, because our minds are fairly now associating some clarity. Now, once it is coming to, once we reach to that stage, then Buddha encourages that we got to associate that seclusion more and more, purify the mind from various defilements, and this is the part that we need to continue. So there also we don't stop. Now Buddha encourages to further familiarize with all these situations. Yesang sambodhi angesu samma chittang subhavitam. So now these awakening factors has to be further familiarized with. So you got to be fairly have a good hands-on experience with these enlightenment factors. So that is where Buddha gives some information about these awakening factors. And he mentioned if anyone develops these enlightenment factors as mentioned, viveka nisitang, viraga nisitang, nirodha nisitang, vasagga parinami. That means associating kind of a relaxed atmosphere, a kind of a seclusion, viraganisitang associating dispassion, nirodhanisasang nisitang allowing things to have their natural cessation, and again maintaining an attitude of letting go, vasagga parinami. So this is the kind of the mindset that yogi has to maintain. So when he is continuing like this, then Buddha mentioned all the various fetters, what we call as asavas, influxes, are going to be decaying. So they start to slowly disappear. They start to lose their strength. They start to decay. So Buddha mentioned that kamasava pichittam vimuchyati, bhavasava pichittam vimuchyati, avijjasava pichittam vimuchyati. Vimuttasming vimuttamiti jnanam hoti. So as when the yogi is developing awakening factors while associating seclusion, associating dispassion, associating kind of a cessation, allowing things to cease naturally, and again maintaining an attitude of letting go, then these fetters, influxes going to decay, going to disappear. That the fetter of sensual lust going to disappear. Fetter of becoming bhavasava going to disappear, going to decay. And the fetter of avijjasava, that is the ignorance, going to decay and disappear. And once these are sort of disappearing and weakening, and the yogi may understand some amount of weakening of these defilements, these fetters, the yogi can understand. And not only that, Buddha mentioned that if one is further developing these enlightenment factors, he may get a proper clarity in the mind, he may get proper understanding, and any kind of an incident, he have a kind of a penetrative wisdom. And his mind is quite free and have a expanded kind of an overview, expanded view, rather than kind of a contracted, restricted view. Now, typically, if we consider the nature of the mind, so our minds are constantly attached to something, constantly grasping something. So when something is grasped, at that moment, mind is fairly restricted. Mind has confined only to a particular phenomena because it has grasped it. So it's a kind of a captivity happened to the mind. So when we grasp something, that object captivates the mind. So therefore, it narrows the perspective of the mind. But now, since nothing is available for grasping, or everything has sort of disappeared and let go of, so the mind is enjoying fair amount of freedom. So as a result, nothing to grasp, so the mind become expanded. But there is nothing to grasp, and expanded and not distracted, by the way. Since there is nothing to grasp, there is no wavering, there is no coming and going, it is staying still. So there's a kind of a evolution of various awakening factors can be recognized. Say, for example, at the early stages, say mindfulness enlightenment factor, so you have to develop purposely, because otherwise mind get distracted. So you have to purposely, effortfully, you are developing the awakening factor, the mindfulness awakening factor. You have to continue to develop it. But as you are continuing, now it becomes kind of an inherent quality. It becomes some sort of an effortless mindfulness. And that is how yogi may experience it now. It is not that kind of an effortful, rigorous kind of mindfulness, but rather it's a very soft, delicate awareness. It's a kind of an awareness, not a purposeful, deliberate mindfulness. Now it has changed to a continuous, very soft, very effortless awareness. So this is the evolvement of the mindfulness awakening factor. When we consider the investigation, at the beginning we are purposely, very closely investigating various phenomena. But now all the phenomena has disappeared, all have ceased, but mind is well established on wisdom. So that is the wisdom of not fabrication, not doing any sort of proliferation, not making any kind of rumination. And therefore, it is a very rich capacity, and it is fairly reinforced with wisdom. So this is the wisdom that Buddha talks. Avijja paccaya sankhara, sankhara paccaya vijnana. So when there is ignorance, then the fabrications are going to happen. Constructions are going to happen. When the constructions are available, then those conditioned consciousness going to arise. So mind get established at somewhere. Mind get conditioned and the conditioned consciousness. Abhisankata vijnana, conditioned consciousness going to happen. So again and again, mind get grasped, mind get polluted, mind get established. And but now when the ignorance is removed, when the wisdom is available, so mind stops doing various constructions, doing various fabrications, doing various proliferations. As a result, mind is quite still. There are no grasping. There is no hindrances. There are no other defilements. So there is no tension. So the mind is still, and still, but the consciousness is not established. So this is a very subtle point where Buddha points out. So because of the arising of wisdom, because of the elimination of ignorance, there are no fabrications, there are no constructions. As a result, mind is quite calm, still, and not grasping to anything, not associating anything, not established at any place. So this is a very wise situation. This is a very rich wisdom area that the mind is associating. And this is the kind of an evolvement of the wisdom that we can see. And it is the Dhamma Vichaya Sambojjhanga, the investigation enlightenment factor, has evolved to that extent. And the effort is now fairly kind of a equipoised kind of an effort, where you are maintaining some sort of equilibrium, some sort of a very necessary amount of, say, effort being maintained. It's kind of seamless, effortless kind of a situation. So it's a matter of continuing the practice, even though various defilements arise, and sometimes you even sometimes get caught to them. Again and again, it's the same methodology one has to apply. So that situation, you got to encourage the mind. So that is the type of encouragement, that is the kind of energy, effort that one is maintaining. It's a kind of a continuous practice, continuous effort. So that is the effort evolved as the enlightenment factor. Now rupture has almost calmed down. Now mostly it's a kind of a contentment, kind of a peace and a comfort available in the mind. And then the mind is calm, quiet, and lighter. So there are no tensions, no frictions, no stresses. So as a result, this tranquility is available. That is the evolvement happened in the Passaddhi awakening factor, the tranquility awakening factor. The Samadhi Sambojjhanga has further evolved. That is where it was previously confined to a particular object, and therefore it is restricted, and that is the concentrated mind. But now everything has let go of, and as a result there is nothing to grasp, nowhere to establish. Therefore mind has become sort of expanded. So it's a kind of an expanded stillness available in the mind. So you can see a significant change has happened in the samadhi is concerned, the concentration is concerned. Now we can't even call it as concentration, but we can call it as a expanded stillness available in the mind. And Buddha very beautifully mentioned in various suttas that vimariyadi katena chetasa viharati. So Buddha mentioned there are no boundaries now to the mind. Now mind has come to a freedom of mind, cheto vimutti. So the mind has expanded. It is no more narrowed to a particular object or put to a particular defilement. Rather, it's an expanded type of mind, and it is still calm, it is peaceful, and it is not established, and it is still. So this is that kind of evolvement happen in the concentration, that is the samadhi enlightenment factor. And the equanimity also has fairly developed, and the equanimity now is not with various phenomena, but even without various phenomena. Now the mind is enjoying some sort of defilement-free, undefiled, say, peaceful environment, peaceful situation. So we don't need to do any much anymore. It's a matter of continuing this. It's a matter of maintaining this. So as a result, this equipoise is there, equanimity is there. That is the evolvement happened in the Upekkha Sambojjhanga equanimity awakening factor. So likewise, Buddha explained, so some sort of a evolvement of these awakening factors. So if one is doing like this, then Buddha mentioned one may get wisdom and a kind of vision, which is far beyond the typical, say, mundane kind of wisdom. Now, this is a fairly supramundane kind of wisdom where one may enjoy a kind of a very refined, say, wisdom, penetrative wisdom, and the freedom available in the mind. Now, this is how Buddha explained the kind of a development of, or the further development of these awakening factors. So that is why, yesaṃ sambodhi aṅgesu sammācittaṃ subhāvitaṃ. So the yogi is more and more developing, more and more maturing these awakening factors. And then Buddha mentioned, ādāna paṭinissagge anupādāya ye rata. Now he likes to maintain unattached mind. Ādāna paṭinissagge. So all these clingings has given up. All the attachments has given up. All the graspings has relinquished. And he likes to maintain that non-grasping mind, unattached mind, unassociated mind, free mind, peaceful mind. So that is where the change has happened in his mind, the attitude in his mind. So Buddha sort of encouraged the yogi, the practitioner, that you got to now have a kind of an inclination towards that sort of a mindset. Not attaching but detached. Not grasping but letting go. Not holding but relinquished. And then, kīnāsavā yutīmanto te lokē parinibbūdāti. So when one is continuing this sort of practice, then Buddha mentioned it leads to the decaying of āsavas, decaying of influxes, fetters. And as a result, so these influxes are developed, sorry, influxes are destroyed, and taints destroyed, and these fully luminous ones, and they are fully quenched, they are fully sort of calm, tranquil in this world. So they are actually the arahants. So this is talking about, at this now, talking about the arahants, fully enlightened beings. So they have completely quenched the thirst, quenched the, says, what you call the craving, tanha. And now they have become luminous. Their minds are quite luminous. And their minds are quite free. So there are no attachments, there are no craving. So this is how Buddha mentioned kind of the gradual development of these enlightenment factors. So if one is able to develop awakening factors, enlightenment factors like this, then you may be able to cross to the other shore. So the Apāra Sutta talks here, Sattimē bhikkhavē bojjhaṅgā bhāvitā bahulīkatā apāra pārangamanāya saṃvattanti. So if one develops these awakening factors, he may get a rare opportunity to cross to the other shore. So this is how it is mentioned. So here, and not only that, actually these awakening factors can be developed using various other means as well, say investigation awakening factor. So one can even develop it using say various other methods like say breathing meditation, maybe Brahma Vihara, that is Metta, Karuna, Mudita, Upekkha, and if one is continuing various other vipassana techniques, so there's a rich field available to develop awakening factors. And again, there are certain other suttas mentioned that even not only they have the capacity to cleanse the mind, awaken the mind, but even they have the capacity to remove or recover from various bodily diseases. there are certain occasions that Venerable Mahamoggallana was severely sick, and at that time Buddha approached him and asked whether are you recovering or is this sickness going to be changing to serious. So, and then Venerable Moggallana answers that it is not recovering, it is this disease is getting worse. And there Buddha sort of recall the awakening factors, because Venerable Mahamoggallana, being an arahant, has fully developed them, but this bodily sickness had made the mind little crowded, or maybe we can say sort of weakened. But now Buddha again recalling the development of the enlightenment factors. As a result, he is able to, Venerable Mahamoggallana was able to re-establish the full strength of awakening factors. And not only that, his bodily sickness completely disappeared because of that. Similarly, Venerable Mahakassapa also went through such kind of a serious illness. There also Buddha approached him and preached these awakening factors. Venerable Mahakassapa also recovered from the illness. And another occasion, Buddha himself was severely sick, and at that time Venerable Mahachunda approached the Buddha. Then Buddha invites him to preach awakening factors. While listening to these awakening factors, while the elaboration is happening, Buddha also recovered from the illness. So you can see they are not only helping to awaken the mind, not only helping to for the understanding, but that understanding, that awakening has a severe impact on the body as well. So it's a kind of a path making us not only the mental healthiness, but even the bodily healthiness. So if the mind is fairly healthy, so the body also become quite healthy. So you also might have heard that there are many psychosomatic diseases, and if the psycho side, if the mental side is quite healthy, so then the bodily aspect, the somatic side also become healthy. So this is the simple thing that we can understand, and therefore these enlightenment factors, bojjhangas, are very important, we can say, the qualities that we got to develop. And therefore, Buddha has encouraged again and again to develop these awakening factors. So let's make good effort to develop these awakening factors practically within our mind. And that way, we also may be able to enjoy all these benefits that we have mentioned in this sutta. With that final note, I like to conclude the summary of this sutta. And now I open the session for questions.